Kumla about the murder of the Fam of Amad Aleph. Okay, Yehuda's here, let's start. Two dots. Of Lamad Vav Amad Aleph. Amad Avrav says, I know how the Biminyona de Bey Rebbe, it says by Dine Mominis, and Tmei is Vitaris, you start from wherever you want, but Dine Nefashas, you start from the small and you work your way up. Dine Mominis Hatmei is Vitaris. Amar Rav said, Ano havoyi b'minyona de bei Rebbe. I was part of Rebbe's bezin. Uminoi de di havi maschel bereishav. They always started from me, in every case. And Rashi says in Gittin Afnu Tesam Rav, the most amazing thing. He gives the two pshatim. One pshat is that Rav was the middle. No, not the youngest. It's nothing to do with age, to do with how smart you are. Was the middle. His caliber was the midpoint. That's what he says. But he says Vanisha Mighty. He says I heard that the Rav was the lowest Talmud by Rebbe. Imagine Rav. Rav is going to change, transform the whole bubble into a Malkum Teda, and he was the lowest Talmud of Rebbe. Yeah, doctor. What do you buy yourself from Rav? Rav is the smaller. You start from the top. On Rav, but Rav, you tell Rav, he'll be the Rav Valis. Shiny minyan be'rebi. Rebbe is different. The cool minyan and the side have maschil. He always started from the side. And Rashi says because he was an onav. Because Rebbe was an onav, he always started on the side. He never considered himself to be the leader of the that he is the leader of the bez, and therefore he should be the. He never considered himself that the leader should be the first one to give an opinion. No, by dini mamon is the first one gives an opinion. So only by dini fas is last. He has so onav. He can't let everyone else say the opinion. And the idea of Maschil Min HaTzad is, Rashi says an interesting thing. The idea of Maschil Min HaTzad is that if somebody says a point, I think the guy is innocent. Then Rebbe, Maschil Min HaTzad doesn't mean that the Rebbe had to be the last one. Rebbe couldn't be from the first ones, Rashi says. So if Rebbe was number 10 and he gave an opinion, the guy is guilty. It's so much easier now. I'm not arguing with Rebbe. I say, you know, I agree with Yankel. You're not saying, I think he's innocent and I'm arguing directly with Rebbe. I say, I agree with Yankel's opinion. That you can do. So that, therefore, the main thing is that he doesn't. The Rebbe is not the first when it comes to the first. But by him, all cases he was not the first. He was not the last. We had the same Gemara in Gittin Daf Nutes. From Moshe till Rebbe, leMatzinu Teira veGedula Makamecha. That the greatest person in Teira, and a great person in Gedula should be the same person. And Moshe Rashi says was a Melech. So therefore, he was both a melech and he was the biggest, you know, and he was a baal teda, the nice not teda. V'loivim arov have Yeshua. What about Yeshua? Yeshua also was a melech, and Lashon said he was a melech, and he was also running the Eden, and he was also the baal teda. He's the one who transmitted teda. Have Elazar. Elazar was there as well, and they were at least in both respects. In one of them, at least, he was equal to Yeshua. Ravi Pinchas is Pinchas, Havi is Kenim. Either the Skenim left over from Moshe Rabbeinu, or the Skenim means a Shaftim. But Havi Shol was Shol, Havi Shmuel. Shmuel was the greatest in the generation, and he was equal to Shol. But Hanoch Nafshei, Shmuel passed away before the Shol did. We're talking about all the years. We're talking about Teidul Mokmechad. All the years, once he reached the level of Teidah, he remained that way forever. There was nobody else equal, like Moshe and like Rebbe. Well, Havi David, what about David? Havi Ira, Havi Iri. We don't mention Achetayful because even though David learned from Achetayful and he was the smartest man, he was a Rasha. But it was Ira, Havi Iri. And David went to greet him with 1,000 people. Well, Hanoch Nafsha, he passed away. Abakul Shnei Kamim. Talking about all the years of David. Well, Havi Shleima, what about Shleima? Havi Shimi Ben Geda. It was Shimi Ben Geda, his Rebbe. Well, Kotle, they killed Shimi Ben Geda. Shleima himself killed him because his father told him to. So there, everyone asked a question, and I don't remember the answer, but we learned the Gemara that Shlomo Melech was not a king forever. He was a Melech and then a Hedyet. But if you learn that he was the opinion that Melech, Hedyet, and Melech, that he was a king, and then he lost his kingdom and the Asheronite threw him out, then he came back as a king, we had it before the Gemara as well, then that's what this Gemara is talking about, that he came back. So it's like Kulishnei, beginning and end. What about Chizki? Havi Shevna, there was Shevna. Now, we learned before, Shevna was a big Russia. But Shevna was a big Talmud Chacham, so some people are not great as this. Also not great as it, because Chizki was not a king of all the Eden. He was only king of two Shvatim. And we need a Nasi of Klal Yisrael. Va'iktil wasn't Shevna killed when he handed him over Sanhedrin. Kulish when he Sanhedrin tied into the back of a horse. Kulish Nechemia. Talking about all the years. Va'havi Ezra. What about Ezra? Ham Nechemia v'Chachalio. Nechemia was equal. Amar Rav Rava. Afan Yomer. I say something similar. Mi'Moshe Rebbe. Ad Rav Ashi le'matzino Teridul Mokem Mechod. So you have like this: Moshe, Rebbe, and Rav Ashi. Moshe, the one who gave us Torah Shabbat, was the greatest Torah and Gedula. Rebbe, who gave us Torah Shabbat Peh Mishnayis, was the greatest Torah Gedula. And Rav Ashi gave us Gemara, was the greatest Torah Gedula. And Rav Ashi also was the leader of Klal Yisrael, because even the Rebbe was in Etzisrael, most in Etzisrael, but Rav Ashi was over the whole world. We're eaten all over the world. Huna Bar Nosson was very friendly with the kings. He was royalty. Plus, he was a big time chacham. Huna Bar Nosson, make of a kai Rav Ashi. He felt subordinate to Rav Ashi. Okay, by the Gemara, Din Nefashim Matchil Menatzah. Din Nefashim always start from the lowest, work your way up. How do you know when Abacha Papa Cross says Pasi Leisana Ariv? He says the Pasi, you shouldn't respond Ariv to an argument. Leisana Rav. This is written without a yud, so we read as if it says Leisana Rav. You shouldn't argue with your Rav. And I told you the machleik is whether you're not allowed to, whether it's a posh not covered. And since this pasuk is written by Din Nefashim, it's limited only to Din Nefashim, not by Din Mamonis. Even the verse is not that you're not allowed to, that you don't feel right, but by Din Mamonis it wasn't such a big deal, so nobody felt uncomfortable. Rabbi Bar Chanoma, Rabbi Yechim Hachem, the following pasuk: Vayim Dov Lanchi Chigur Lan Noshav Dov. He said to his people, Chigur Yishes Charbo, I want you to girdle yourself with your sword. Vayachir Yishes Charbo, they all first girdle themselves with the sword. Then Vayachir Gam Dov Yishes Charbo, Dov was last. According to this pasuk, the chiluk in these two pasukim are very simple. According to the second pasuk, David has to be last. So the Nasi has to be last. According to the other pasuk, he shouldn't be first. Don't be last, he shouldn't be first. And if there's a couple of opinions, then I just later on say, I agree with one of those opinions. I'm not arguing with my love. I'm just agreeing with another opinion, which is what Rashi said before. That's the chiluk which pasuk you learn from. A person can teach a student what the laws are, and then he'll agree with him and then and count him as another opinion. Basically, I'll ask you a question. So, when it comes to Tatar, Tumeya, a father and a son, because over there you don't need a bezin of three, even a bezin of one is good enough. The only time you need more than one is if there's an argument with Rabbonim, some Rabbonim say you're wrong, so you need to put a look at the number who's the Rabbim, then you can count your son as well as one of the Rabbim. Because you don't need a minyan, you just need people have opinions, so everyone counts as opinion. Also, what about Din Mamonis? When it comes to court cases where you actually need a minion of 3 or 23, but Din Makis, or the laws of Makis, you need 3 or Kiddush, Achidush, Ibushan, and we need also Abu Benoi, Haravet Tamid, Emoinim Echod. They only count as one opinion. So, see, for me, that what? That even for Kiddush, Achidush, and Ibushan, you cannot have two relatives on the Bezdin. So the question is, Rav Tamida, you only count as one. How can you say by Din Lefashas we count them as two? The Rav Shainel Tamidim count them as two. So the Gemara says, interesting, there are two kinds of Tamidim. Kiko Amar Rav, when does Rav say that a Talmud has a mind of his own? Kiko Rav Kahana Rav Asi. Like, Rav, take my Tamidim, Rav Kahana or Rav Asi. Rav Asi was actually Rav Yechon in the Talmud. The Gamare, the Rav Havitzricha. Abo the Svari, the Rav Havitzricha. There's two kinds of Talmidim. One Talmid is a person that everyone, as Rashi says, learns from Moshe Rabbeinu. Everyone is a Talmid. But if I need you to teach me just the knowledge, but I can think of in my own mind, I'm not really a Talmid. When do we say that you're a Talmid? When it says a Talmid is disqualified, is where the Talmid cannot think for himself. He's a parrot, and he parrots his teacher's words. But a real Talmid is like a Kanavasi, that is, they get the knowledge from the Rav, but then they had a mind of their own, understood in their own way. The Mishnah counts tabulates a whole bunch of different differences between Din Nefashos and Din Mamonis, the Kulam, but all of these differences ain't Noyagin B'Shoyt HaNiskel. A Shoyt HaNiskel we learned before that if a cow kills somebody, that it says Kimis is Bailim. God Bailim, you must be learned another one, just like a Bailim is a judge at Bezna 23. So to hear the Bezna 23, so all the differences that we say over here, that you know that you start B'Shchus and you know you're not allowed to start B'Chayiv and all that kind of stuff, does not apply to a Shoyt HaNiskel. Chutz Me'esim V'Shloisha, the only Nafkamina between a Shoyt HaNiskel and Dini Mamonis is the fact that you need 23 judges. But in every other respect, it's no different than Dini Mamonis. How do you know that? It says, when do we go out of our way to defend the defendant? Because you shouldn't tilt the mishpat of your evan in an argument. Is mishpat evyoncha I atamata? You're not allowed to tilt the mishpat of an evyon. That you need to hurt somebody, you need a majority of two, and so on and so forth. Aval atam mash and matem mishpat shashar nisko. You can tilt the din of a shashar nisko with the authority of one. Once you know that this distinction doesn't apply because we don't really, we're not out there to defend the animal, get rid of the animal. In fact, if it killed somebody, get rid of it. Be'ar torah mikibecha. So all the other differences fall away because they all basically are corollaries of this one here, which is we try of rachmanis. But there's no rachmanis on the shayr. So the only distinction is what the Torah clearly says is the bezin of 23. Freddy Mori, you're saying I saw the 10 differences at Tesave. There are only 9 differences. So Mori says, Ha'asodik Tani. But L'chayde, before we go further, what do you mean? What do you complain to me? It says there are 10. In the Mishnah, B'shem De'ein Ha'kol Kshaders is L'chadehi. So my question is, not even though the Mishnah gives 10 differences, it's not really 10 differences, only 9. Because this the distinction of 23 judges and this distinction that you cannot have a mamzer on the bezin is exactly the same. It's not a separate distinction. Why can't you have a mamzer on the bezin? Once you need a bezin 23, which means what are you? You're Sanhedrin. And once you're Sanhedrin, the din of a Sanhedrin is that you need to have none of them should be balmum, inside nichas, inside in physical things. So therefore, the idea of 23 is tell me you need a Sanhedrin. Then we have laws of Sanhedrin. And the laws of Sanhedrin is you can't be a mum. So it doesn't count as 2 separate differences, only 9. And to the Gemara, you're right. But the other distinctions the Mishnah doesn't mention, therefore I'm calling it 10. What are these other ones? I'm adding the ones from the Braisa. The Tanya, very interesting, we learned. Ein meshivin b'sanhedrin. You're not allowed to appoint someone on the Sanhedrin who's zaken. Big machleik is nachreinim. What's a zaken? How old do you have to be a zaken? The Rambam adds zaken muflog. Zaken muflog, somebody once says over 100. Until 100, he can be on the bezin. Because zaken normally is 50. What does the Mishnah say? Ben chamishim?
Didn't I read in Rambam something because... Didn't I read in Rambam something because zaken is more... It hasn't got mercy?
We'll see in a minute. Yeah, we'll see in a minute, exactly.
Why is that?
You'll see in a minute. So 60, 60 would be a zaken. So over 60, and you'll go around the world. Most of the yanim who are good, experienced, are over 60. So, what's the idea? We'll see in a minute. Or saris, or somebody who is not able to have children. Or mishein lebanim. A saris is somebody who can never mature, or somebody who has no children. Why, if he has no children, can't he be? So Rashi says zaken, a few lines below the Gemara here, just see Rashi. Zaken, big word zaken. Rashi zaken, sheshochach kvar tzar gidl banim. He forgot a long time ago what it means to raise kids. It's out of raising kids. The ain't no rachmani. He forgot. He doesn't have the capacity. He has no patience. And he has no rachmanis. Your grandchildren come home. You have them for a few hours, but you're happy when they leave as well. Because you have no patience really. You're thinking too wild. B'chein saris. Same thing with the saris. So, we want people to have rachmanis. We actually had a machlik, as Rashi tells us before, about Tzar Gidol Bani. Rashi said Tzar Gidol Bani means raising kids. And he says, Chas V'Shom. You're not sure thing of Tzar Gidol Bani raising kids. It's only if there's, like the Shvatim, the Sold Yosef, that's the Tzar Gidol Bani. They have bad experiences. But Rashi explains, the Zaken is because he has no children, no Rachmanis. Rabbi Yehuda Moisev, Afach Zori, a schlechte mensch. A guy postured has a mean streak in him. We don't want him on the bezin. But when it comes to maces, we dafka look for people who have no children. Dafka look for people who are cruel and so on, so that they can, tyrants, and they should be on that bed. Don't have rachmanis and not protect him. Everyone's culture doesn't need a mamzer. Hakol shein my, who's everyone? I'm going to have you know, mamzer, include a mamzer. Even though mamzer is qualified, has no yichas for bezin, shol, and the din of fashas, but he's qualified for bezin of din of mamzer. Anybody who's qualified to be a judge over capital punishment, doesn't qualify for Dinah Mamnus. However, the Yeshiro, Ludden Dinah Mamnus, they're all Dinah Fashas. Now, those people are qualified to judge on Dinah Mamnus, but not qualified to judge on Dinah Fashas. But we ask of the Lassi, my word, is it Rabbi Yehuda? Lassi Mamza. So the question is not on the mission, the question is on Rabbi Yehuda. Why did Rabbi Yehuda say it both times? The Gemara says, it's not two times. Chodah lasuya ger, to include a ger for dinim mamnes, but chodah lasuya mamzer. I want to include a mamzer. Why do you need to include? Once you tell me that when it comes to dinim mamnes, I don't care about the yichas, why do you have to have two dinim, one for a ger to include a ger, one to include a mamzer? I want to include both. The Ashmin again, we know unu ger, the role of the color, because a ger is role to come into the community, he's allowed to marry any yid, so therefore it makes sense why he can be qualified in the fashas. Ava mamzer, emeloi mamzer, maybe since he cannot marry into Kal Hashem, maybe he's disqualified for being a dayan. The Ashmin of mamzer, by mamzer, the bom metipa makshed, he comes from a Jew, therefore he's qualified to be a dayan. Ava ger, the loi bom metipa shed, emeloi, tzich if you need both. Big machlek is a shrein over here, what exactly Rashi and Tesis is here, but Rashi in other places. And the kid said, Tesis holds that a ger when we say a gay is kosher for dinim mamonos, we mean only kosher to dan other gayim. And when a mamza is kosher dinim mamonos, he can dan anybody. That's how Tosfos learns. Rashi learns that remember what Rashi learns is Rashi's not here. Rashi's that was Rashi here. They don't bring the Rashi here. They bring Rashi here. So Rashi holds that a geir is a geir. Rashi holds no chiluk a geir. The mamzer geir can judge anybody in dini mamonos. The story of there's a whole story there about a geir. Rami Shmuel's grandson over there, because his mother was a yid, therefore he's allowed to judge dini nefashos as well. Anyway, whatever. So machlekes is who a geir can judge.
If you have a girl that the father is Jewish and the mother is not Jewish, and
that's nothing. She's a regular geir.
No, but I'm saying in terms of the thing of saying that one is from the
Kerev Chicha means the mother. Only Kerev Chicha includes the mother. Okay. Take what about everybody's qualified if they have felt niyichus. My time. Who said that you have? Why if the mamzer is kosher for dinim mamzer? Why isn't he kosher dinim nefashos? The Torah of Yosef Kashem she bezin menukim betzedek. Just like a bezin has to be innocent and honest when it comes to judgment, kach menukim bekamum. They have to be clean and pristine, clean from any kind of defects, including spiritual ones. Only my cross a positive. We don't want people to go faulting the dayanim and saying, ah, he's a newsboy, he's this and that, and casting all kinds of aspersions on them. It says a pasuk, "Kulcha yofer ayosi, yogun my close friends." Umu main bach, there's no defect, no flaws, and we're teaching what flaw means. Yichus. Spring, but how do you know? Maybe it's umu mamish. Maybe it means it shouldn't have any movement whatsoever. But Avach v'Yakum Makra, it says in the pasuk by Moshe Rabbeinu that says if they could gather together those 70 kainim over there in Parshat Pinchas, v'siyatz v'shamimcha, they should stand together imach with you. So imach b'daimilach, we want the Sanhedrin, those thing to be just like you. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu had a wonderful yichus. We want someone with a wonderful yichus. Who said that's a general rule for all the Sanhedrin? There's a special case. They're going to give basa to the Eden, and if the Eibush said, I'm going to give from your spirit, that's why you need some special people. But maybe Stam judge, you don't need it. It says in the pasuk that Yisro is telling you about all the judges. You should have all these judges with you. V'nosu itach, and they will debate with you. But they should be similar to you. Now Moshe Rabbeinu had a moment with an Aral Sfasayim, unless we're going to have to say either that after Matan Torah Moshe Rabbeinu lost his Aral Sfasayim, because every Bal Mum they became healthy again, so Moshe Rabbeinu also lost it. Or others say that when he came down from Matan Torah, he lost it. So the Mishnah, Sanhedrin, now how did they sit? The Sanhedrin, Hoysa sat ke chatzi goyden, they sat like a half a semicircle, agula that was around, kedeshi yuroizez, that we want all the people when they're debating with each other, so you had the judges, the judges, and they should see each other. We had this before already. There were two scribes, echad miyamin ve'echad one, the right side and the left side. And both of these stenographers used to write down exactly what all the opinions that they said, not just a yes and a no, but every word that they said. They both wrote the same thing. So this way you can match the records in case somebody missed something out, you can see the other one. Rabbiudamino, it's a tloisha. Echad kaisim zakim. One guy was focused only on those who found him innocent. Ve'echad kaisim zakim. Another guy was focused on the guy who found him guilty, on those guys. Vashlisha kaisim zakim zakim. The third guy wrote them both. Okay, so anybody write? So the Dayanim sat in a semicircle. And they had three rows. Also, they sat in the ground. The dayanim sat in the chair, and they sat on the ground. Sat on the ground. Everyone knew the seat. And Bekitza Harashi explains here was there were three rows of 23. There was these were all in training. These are bottom in training, but they're all great tamil chamim. And you start from AA or A1, and you work your way down to, you know, to say 1A, 1B, 1C, or 1 Aleph, 1 Beit, till 23, but there's only 22 letters in Aleph Beit, so they got stuck there at the end. And then they wrote 2 and they wrote 3. And if one of the Dayanim had to go out, Rashi says for his own personal needs, then the first guy in row 1 would move up to the Sanhedrin, and then everyone else would move up forward one seat. And that's how it went. And we learned before how many people should live in a city. We said 120, and the Chesed was part of it. 92 of them were Dayanim. Or potential Dayanim.
Who? Three additional rows, not two additional rows.
Three. One was a row of Dayanim. Three rows of Talmidim.
That's a four, total four.
Yeah. Then it says, what it did was, Hutzcholismaich, if they had to appoint someone to go on to the Sanhedrin, join the Sanhedrin, build the case. Soimichim and Hashem, they'll go to the first row. Now each row moved up, and the first guy in the second row became the last guy in the first row, and then the first guy in the third row became the last guy in the second row. And you don't bring anybody out from the from outsiders, because these guys were all much more trained and much greater than all the other ones. Yeah. And then had to fill the last seat, which is now vacant. They used to, one of the young died, so they brought in somebody from the community. Where would they place him? The very last row seat in the third row. He wouldn't take the seat of the first seat. You know, the guy vacated. He goes to the last place. There was a system here. Everyone followed suit. How do you know all this? How do you know they sat in this kind of a semicircle? The Bachinin says, "I'm a crow." It says in the pasuk, "Shorarech." It says that your navel, agan hasoyar, was like in the middle. Al yechoser hamozeg, and you shouldn't a mozeg, which was when you to blend the wine. You used to have two parts water and one part wine. So the Eden, we were praising the Eden that they should be like in the center of the earth, the center of everything. Shirodech, that's the Sanhedrin. Lamanika Shema Shirodech. Why they're called the navel? Shehi Yeshevez B'tibur Shalolim. They sat in the base of Mikdash, which is the center of the world, the epicenter of the world. Agan Hasahar, Hasahar is the moon. Agan Hasahar, they're around like the moon. Shehi Agan also from the word Hagana, to protect. Shehi Mulguna Al Kola Olam Kulik. The base of Mikdash protected the entire world. Hasahar, the moon. Shehi Doimel Hasahar. The moon is like a semicircle. So the Sanhedrin sat there in the base of Migdash like a semicircle, and we're equating a bezin of Chav Gimel, Sanhedrin Chav Gimel, to the Sanhedrin Agdoyla. Al Yechoser HaMozeg, you don't want that it should be diluted too much. She'im Hutzich, and HaMozeg, there was two parts water, one part wine. So we had over here three rows. That's how we know you have three rows of Talmidim. She'im Hutzich, Echem Mem Lotzer, if one of them had to go out for his own personal needs. If we have a replacement of 23, he can go out. If he's no replacement, at least of 23, he cannot go out. He has to have a replacement. But we don't want that the wine part, remember, one part wine and two parts water. We want the wine part to be empty. We always want the wine part to be full. There should always be somebody there. We'll continue the next mission, because tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh, and the day after. Bitneich. Later on, it says there that bitneich, your stomach, when the Eden will go right to Golus already, it won't be as great. As arimas chitim, even when in Golus, the navel, but in the stomach, arimas chitim, you will still be like a whole pile of wheat. Ma arimas chitim, hakel neni mimena, just like a pile of wheat, a sile of wheat. Everybody benefits. Av sanhedin, hakel neni mitameen. Everyone will benefit from the svaras that they give. It says in the pasuk, suga bashashanim. That's like a fence of thorns. Which pshat? Shafilu kisuga shashanim. It's not a very strong fence, having a fence of thorns. Even a little fence, a weak fence, a fragile fence, like thorns. La yifru dren pitzes. The Eden still will keep it properly and will prevent them from doing avedis. V'hainu, this is what we found. The Amalei. The Eden are so careful doing mitzvahs that they're not going to do avedis, even a small little, like a smaller. Like mukts and all that. Behind them, who mean Rav Kana, this Abkai said Rav Kana. Amritu, I don't understand. You guys say that a nida, shari li yichud b'had gavra, a married man and his wife, they can be together even though she's a nida. Efshar eish benoided, the fire, they're burning in the flax, ainim av heves, and doesn't consume the flax. How can he allow the husband to be b'yichud with his wife when she's a nida? Maybe things will go awry. Amalei, he said to him, HaToyda Heyida Aleinu, Toyda testified to us that Suge B'Shashanim, that a little fence of thorns is enough to keep us protected. That Filo K'Shashani Leif is B'Pitzes. Since you have Harchakas, since you have certain already distances, that's enough. And we don't care about Yichud. Tays already asked, I don't understand. Why, if Yichud is Matoyda, so what's the difference between Eish is Isha and Nida? Why in Eish is Isha is no, when Yichud is also Matoyda? Remember, David added a Pnuya. But Eish is also Matoyda, but Yichud and Nida is not. What's a Chilik? They're both Kodesh. and for Tesis, because a nidl will become mutter to you tomorrow, therefore you can control yourself compared to an HZ, she'll never be mutter to you while she's married to the other guy. Therefore, there's no yichud allowed over there because there's no heter. So there's no reason to wait. If you're impulsive, you're impulsive. Mashenk in by nidl. We have a thing, expression, Lashavik Heteda, Vahoda Beisura. You're not going to leave Heta and go Yisra, you can wait. Then Tesis wants to know, there's another din that says that, who be big doy, he be big doy, you're not allowed to be with an HSH even with your clothes on, and neither with your wife and neither. Why don't you use the same rule, Suga B'Shashanim there, and say that since you have a hachokis, what's wrong with who be big doy, he be big doy? They're fully dressed.
The fact that your wife is nidda, what would that have to do with being with another woman?
No, because if you're fully dressed, you're not allowed to be close contact to each other. Why not? The fact that there's answers because that kind of activity leads to, you sort of removed all the fences. We gave so much credit to Palti Ben Layish, or we learned that Rashi by Marukva. The credit, in this stage. Second one, right? Reish Lakish Amar Mahoch. I have another pasuk that tells you that the Eden are so careful. It says in the pasuk, the famous probably had this Gemara in the end of Chagiga. He says, "Kipelach Harimun Rakoseich." It's like the pomegranate. Inside of a pomegranate is your temple. So we darshin Rakoseich means Rakoledik. Afilu Rakonish Shabach. Even those who are empty amongst you, Malayan mitzvahs kribin, even the Rishayim, are full of mitzvahs like a pomegranate. And I heard Martha Stewart say on her cooking show once that her mother told her that a pomegranate has 613 seeds. I don't know if she's eaten or not, but that's what she said. Representing 613 mitzvahs. Anyway, to count them one day. Rab Zeira, Rab Zeira says, Mahacha from here. You know where you learn out from? By Esau, by Yaakov, when Yaakov went in and masqueraded as Esau, and Yitzchak smelled his clothes. That's the pasuk. That by Yorach, Yitzchak smelled as Reach Begodov, he smelled the scent of his clothes. How can he smell the clothes? He was wearing, he was wearing animal hide. Stunk. What do you mean by Yorach Begodov? So we read it, it doesn't say Begodov, Altikra Begodov, Ela Boigdov. Esav was able to smell that even somebody who commits treason against Yiddishkeit, right? Somebody who betrays Yiddishkeit, there's still something good there. There's still a good smell there. Everyone has a pintly yid that you can bring out something good from him, and that's what Yitzchak smelled. This is hard to understand this story here. What's the story trying to say? These Briyoni, these vulgar people, they were Rab Zeda's neighborhood. And Avi Mekadavlu, Rab Zeda was Mekadav them. In order, they should do tshuva. Rabban didn't agree with them. Labdavkin Algame, maybe this particular case, he was constantly giving them positive words and he never chastised them for their behavior. Ki noch nafshe, Rab Zeira, they passed away. Amri, they said, Ada Idna, until now, have a charicha cut in shake, that he who burned, remember he was a short guy, he was a midget, and he jumped into the oven there and he burnt his foot. So that he, the have a boy alarachme, he said, Davin on our behalf, he always took care of us. Hash the man boy alarachme, we're doing Avedis, and who's going to protect us? He did the Bible to the Chuva. So what's the point of the story? What's the point of the story? That you should not be Makara people?
You should.
He just said that Rab Zeira, the Rabbanu were upset by his Makarav him, and then as soon as he stopped being Makarav them, they became free on their own. But his kid of their Luchayt, it sounded like it wasn't so much kid, it was more that he davened for them all the time, made sure that they were right, and he let them stay the way they are. He wasn't really spiritually being Makarav them at all. That's what it seems like. So, in other words, it seems like what I'm trying to say here, that he can be very friendly and everything else, but you also have to try to instill in them some Yiddishkeit. Shalosh Shuddah with three rows. When one guy in the first row seat moved into the Bezdin, everyone moved a seat closer. Oh, this is an interesting Gemara, which is a famous question. Let's say, Adid, until now, have a Yasiv in the Bereisha. A guy will say in the row number two, I was number one and number two, and Hashtam is strictly Bedanvi. Now you're putting me in the last seat in row number one? This is what you tell him. It is Havi Zonov La Arroyes. It is better to be a tail of a lion, while Ti Roisha shall be a head of the fox. And yet, what do we say? What do we say? Rosh Hashanah. It's better to be a Roish than to be a Zonov. So, what's the Hadith? So, Chassidim say, Ye Lirosh. We should be attached to the Nossi, to the Rebbe. The Loyla Zonov. We shouldn't attach ourselves to the Paskut Nyakas. Other people call themselves Rabbi. That's what the Yilirosh. But This is the mission in Pekiyavis. It's better to be a zon of arayis, but he's rosh shalom. Please come right after David.
Tomorrow you should be a light.